for the offering, the tithes, and for the people. Amen. So many times in the Word of God, it was the man of God that prayed a blessing and a protection. Amen. So it's not just a routine, it's not just a part of our service, it's a part of what we receive when we come to church. And you see, 90% blessed is a whole lot than 140% that isn't. And God, we thank you. We thank you every day for your provision, for your protection, for the health that we have, and for the possibility of healing in our lives. And so we ask a blessing. Blessing on the tithes and blessing on the offering. Blessing on our individual lives and family, God. We want to just thank you. The only way we can do that is with our lips, with our hands, but primarily with our life. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to dismiss our Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Proverbs is just such an incredible book, so much wisdom in it. Chapter 22 and verse 28 says this, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." That goes for Bible days. That goes for even this country. And then Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah 6 and verse number 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein." And then Jeremiah 18. And verse number 15. "Because my people hath forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity," or for meaningless. "And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up." God's way or my way? Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch upon your word this morning, God. That there'd be an anointing in your house. That you'd open our minds, but open our hearts to it. Cause us to walk in the old paths. That there would be rest. There'd be peace. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was thinking this week that in 1990, we had a special service called Old Time Religion. And it was in our old little building, and everybody dressed up in costume for the 1880s. Old, old costumes. And then in 2003, we did the same thing. And in both cases, we asked old preachers to come and preach the gospel. And now that I'm old, I'm able to do the same thing. Amen. It seems we're living in a woke society. I had to look up that word woke, find out. It was added to the dictionary in 2017. It simply means aware of what's going on around you. But this woke society, everything is redefined. cultures and societies are now looked at through this lens of wokeness, and it gives you a sense that the old ways are wrong and should be discarded or even destroyed. And because of this awakening, monuments of the past need to be removed or destroyed. You see, you can't have a reminder of the past if you want to establish a new society. The same is true for the church. You have to get rid of the old ways if you're going to establish a new way that seems to be easier and more palatable for people to live. The weeping prophet discovered what we know today, that old paths are not appealing to a present world. Everything seems to be changing, and people think it's a change for the better. But the past is systematically destroyed so the present can't pretend that it never happened and they don't have a guilty conscience any longer. That's why preachers, we need to get rid of those truth-sayers, you see. We live in a throwaway culture. Even truth has an expiration date on it. It's no longer valuable because it's so old. People don't buy things to keep things forever. You know, I have an iPhone 7. It's an old iPhone, but within a year, it'll be absolutely worthless because it is a 3G, and there will no longer be 3G. You have to be 5G and eventually 7G and 10C. So we don't teach history in our schools because it'll conflict with our wokeness. Principles are no longer eternal, and convictions come with a shelf life. Oh, I know my parents felt that this was important, but is it really important for me? Is there an expiration date on relationships? Get rid of some of the old friends so we can have some new friends who are more modern, more liberal. Church, there is a great value in the old paths. This Bible is 6,000 years old. Should we throw it away and get an author of somebody who is more updated, relevant to our society? The same concept has creeped into our church, people chasing after something new and a more palatable doctrine and then condemning the old ways. Really? You're still helping God to update to a more modern society, really? Once the apostles passed away, damnable doctrines were brought into the church and led us into what was called the Dark Ages, where there was no truth at all, and there was all kinds of patterns of what religion should be. In fact, Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. My God is not going to change with society. Amen. What we need is not something new, but something very old. Something ancient. Ancient landmarks that can't be removed. No matter how many people think it's not relevant today, to God, this word is still relevant. Every word in the book. In Scripture, ancient landmarks were set as boundaries for the children of Israel in the Promised Land. It said, this is where God gave me this, you see. These boundary stones were placed to distinguish the ownership. And there are landmarks in God's word that identify who belongs to him. Amen. Churches can't move these landmarks and still be under God's management. And so we decide we're going to discard some of the landmarks, the landmark principles within the word of God. Then we're saying, I'm under different management. And therefore, I'm not under the blessing. I'm not under protection. You see, these landmarks were heavy stones that couldn't easily be removed. There was a purpose You know, if you own a house, there are landmarks, there's surveyor lines, there's surveyor stakes that are driven deep into the ground. Some of them you can't even see. You have to find a metal detector to find out where your property starts and where somebody else's is. The landmark said, this is a fixed value in my life. There are things in this book that says, it's a fixed value in my life. I don't care who says it's not relevant anymore. God says it's relevant, and I'm staying with the old paths, you see. And God has set specific landmarks in each of our lives that we need to reestablish and go back to often. He did this, and he did that. I remember when he showed me this. Hallelujah. We need to revisit them from time to time in order to reestablish the boundaries that God set, especially early in our walk with God. God first chiseled his commandments in stone. That should tell you something. He didn't write them on parchment paper. He chiseled them in stone, indicating the lasting nature of his word. It's not going to change. And then he did something even more permanent. He chiseled the law, his values, in our heart when he filled us with the Holy Ghost. Psalms 119 and 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. That's quite a long time. No expiration date on forever or eternity. God doesn't use an eraser. He doesn't use whiteout. Some of you don't know what whiteout even is. Or have a need for a new translation, you know, an updated version. And let's remove a few of the scriptures that aren't relevant for us today. He said it once and hasn't changed his mind about what he said. He's kept to the original dialogue. The King James Version is a translation of the original text of Hebrew and Greek. That means there were men who took the original language and translated it into English the best that he possibly could. And other versions are paraphrased wordings to arrive at a more modern sounding text. It's easier to read, and from time to time I even take a look at the nearly inspired version or some of the other ones. You know, for a better understanding, but you know, we really need to know exactly what God said. Tell me exactly what you said. You know, I could tell Brother Moran, I would say a sentence and then have you pass it to your wife and then those people and go all the way around this room, and by the time it got to Sister Schumacher, it'd probably be a completely different idea. Because it's not enough just to repeat it to somebody. Show me in a book. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, thank God for the original. It's the only thing that we really have that's original on the face of the earth. It really is. I don't want man's rendering. I don't want man's opinion. You can have it. You're in a free country. But it doesn't mean much to God, you see. I know it's not always easy to comprehend, but it is a true translation of what God said. And if there's anything I want to know, it's what did God say? What do you want, God? Hallelujah. There are some who would like to get rid of this book because it prohibits them from having liberty in certain areas. It also serves as a landmark in our walk with God that cannot be removed. One of the greatest landmarks God gave us is the church. Even government can't get rid of the church, you see. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16 and 18, he said, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. It's a heavy rock. It's a big stone, you see. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. It's a foundation for truth, you see. 1994, I think it was probably about June of 1994. Right back in that corner, the very corner of the vestibule, in the foundation, I remember after they poured the foundation, kneeling down and writing in the wet concrete, Acts 2 and 38. This church is founded on Acts 2 and 38, not just the words, but what the words stand for, you see. He's going to build his church upon a rock, not a floating barge. People, society, cultures are constantly changing, but the church is a rock, a landmark, too big to be removed. It's there to signify the borders between the world and the church. Hallelujah. Today, more emphasis is put on saving the whale and the spotted owl. And little care is taken to preserve the Christian heritage that we have, the landmarks. There are people who paid for this truth with their very blood. There are those today that would tear up our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. They don't like what the founders of this country have said and established in writing. I remember going to Washington and going into the archives building and seeing the original Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They don't want to be governed by any rules. That's the nature of humanity. I don't want rules in my life, you know? But rules actually are there in order to preserve your life, not to take life away from you. I don't like stop signs. So I just go through stop signs. That jeopardizes my life. It jeopardizes you. If the preacher won't talk about the stop signs and the parameters within the Word of God, within the church, you know what it's going to do? It's going to jeopardize your life and everybody else's life because somebody wants to have more liberty. Hallelujah. Our country was formed as a republic, not a democracy. I pledge allegiance to this flag and the republic for which it stands. Well, the republic means that all of government is exercised by the Constitution, not by the majority of the people. The majority of the people have a right to say what they feel, but nevertheless, we still go by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Hallelujah. And just because the majority of the people want to change things doesn't allow them to overrule the republic or the Constitution. You see, protest all you want. You can't change the Constitution. And the same is true for the church. We are not a democracy. We are a republic. We are governed by only one thing, and that's what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. If you're looking for a church with more liberty, it's not here. Because we recognize the closer we get to God's word, the more power we have, the more protection we have, the more miracles we have, the more people are saved. It doesn't matter how many people feel that God's word is not relevant today. Because one day, every one of us are going to be judged based on what the word of God says, not what some pastor says. Not what some huge group of people decide. Don't have confidence in number. Have confidence in the Word of God. Turn to John, the 12th chapter. John 12 and 48. Here's what Jesus said. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So how can the word not be relevant if one day we're going to be judged by it? The Bible even says it doesn't matter if you know it or not, you'll still be judged by it. That's why ignorance is of no excuse. You still will be judged by the Word of God. Some have pulled down boundary markers to be most seeker-friendly. I want to build a church, so what we'll do is we'll take down some of the boundaries so it'd be easier for somebody to come into the church, the most open-minded and most tolerant church, and then we can really have a big group of people all together, a crowd of people with a false sense of security, and in the end, you'll say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done wonderful works in thy name? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You didn't know my word and you didn't respond to it. Is salvation relevant today? It is. Has God changed his mind about the word? No. God doesn't change with society. Society needs to change to line up with God. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. He's not going to change. You know, there's a comfort to me knowing that God hasn't changed his mind. There's a comfort knowing that his mercy endureth forever. There's a comfort knowing that if I fall down, I can just ask him for forgiveness and he'll restore me. You know, he hasn't changed his mind. No, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I love our technology, our sound system, and our live streaming and YouTube and indoor plumbing. I love that kind of stuff, you know. It really makes it easier to be a part of the church. Glory to God. But the message and the principles of God, well, they can't change. On 5 separate occasions in Scripture, we're warned not to move the landmarks. Take a look at Deuteronomy, the 19th chapter. Deuteronomy 19:14, it says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmarks, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. So what we're looking at is landmarks that were set to divide the land, the promised land, for an inheritance. But, you know, you and I have an inheritance coming. And there are certain provisions and landmarks that are in the Word of God. And there will be false prophets and people who will say those things aren't important any longer. And what they're really doing is they're taking your inheritance away from you because they're moving the landmarks. What they did back then was people would slip into a neighbor's field and move the landmarks in order to expand their own land. Let's move them a little further out so I have more land. I'm more wealthy. The message today is simple. Change the standards and grow your church. Betray the past to reap the present. I think we can expand our landmarks or take them out of the way in order to expand what we have, for evil is always there to take more of our inheritance from us. For evil to prevail, all it takes is good men to say absolutely nothing. Oh, well, oh, I guess that's just the way it is today. Somebody's got to stand up for truth. If you don't stand up for something, you'll be fooled by everything. The cross needs to be preached. It's still relevant. The blood of Christ is still relevant. It needs to be preached. It may make somebody uncomfortable, but it was the cross that saved us. Tell me about the upper room. It still happens today. Holiness still attracts the power and the presence of God today. Otherwise, we become a church of Ichabod. The presence of God is no longer here. Take a look at Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. Ezekiel 33, verse number 1. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, their pastor, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Listen, I'm preaching it. If you don't want to respond, you are responsible for the consequences. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the pastor, see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of the watchman's hands. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, wherefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. Preaching is the mouth of God, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but the blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. These are words concerning a pastor, concerning a father, concerning a friend. You see? Well, see, we have more liberty now. Oh, no, I think you need to say something. What liberty? Where is it in the book that you now have liberty that you once didn't have before? And does that liberty give you peace? Does it give you solace? Does it give you comfort? You know, my first experience in an apostolic church was in October of 1977. A lot of you haven't even been born yet. I immediately felt the power of God in that service. It's not that I didn't believe in God all my life, but I never experienced the power and the presence of God like this, because it was a church that had landmarks. The question is why? It took a while to understand why there were such overwhelming moves of God in every one of the service, but it was because my pastor never watered down the doctrine or the principles of God. And visitors got the same meal as seasoned saints, not watered down to make visitors comfortable because I'm afraid they'll never come back. You know what? God has given an anesthetic in every church service. And when somebody comes in, God is so excited about somebody hearing more truth. He's saying to the pastor, tell them the truth, will you? And you know what? They're not bothered by the truth. This pastor didn't acquiesce concerning holiness and separation. He would say all the time, bless God, if the church doors are open, you ought to be there. Wow. You know, I don't. I was putting together this message on Tuesday. I got a call from Brother East. And he said, Brother Schumacher, I spent a lot of time with our general superintendent, Brother Bernard, this week. And here's what he said. He said, we got to go to the to the old paths and not remove the landmarks. Really, God. I was about the sixth page on my message, and I got a call from a guy that invited me to my first Pentecostal service. And he did that over and over again until I finally came. And this man was telling me last week, it's not important to go to church anymore. You see, there was a great respect for the pastor because he stood for the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And that church was the fastest growing church in the entire nation for years. Not because he was a great preacher. Not because I'm a great preacher. Because he stood for truth and would not acquiesce. I was privileged to be under that kind of leadership. It has kept me strong and tenacious for 44 years. I haven't wavered because, you know what? You should be privileged as well. Every month I could go to another seminar on how to build a church. But it's already in a book. Just keep to what I'm saying. See, God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. God brings them into this building to hear the truth, the whole truth. Nothing watered down, you see. And I was so grateful that I heard it straightforward. You know, it's like if we get new people, new saints baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, well, we just don't want to tell them all of the truth right away. Well, when is a better place to tell them what God requires of them than at their birth? You see, church isn't a business which is successful based on talents and programs. When churches compete with the world, you know what they get? Worldly people. What people need is not something new, but a fresh experience of something old. And when we come to church, we need to have the same experience as we had when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. The same. And when people have been gone for years and years and they finally get to the place where they come back to the church, they should come back to the same church that they left. Our scripture text said, in the old paths, there is rest for their souls. It's little wonder why Moses pronounced the curse on those who move the landmarks. They, in effect, are insults to God by saying, what you gave us was not enough. We're going to add to it. Today, God is looking for those who will stand guard over the old ways, over the old landmarks. No, I'm not changing. I'm sorry. It was good enough to save me. It's good enough to keep me. We used to sing that old song, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. Hallelujah. We don't need a new version of the old things that have happened. That's the way our church should be. One old preacher said, if God himself handed me the Bible and told me to modify it to match the way that I wanted to live, I would hand the Bible back to him and say, no, Lord, modify me to match the Bible. Make me conform to your word, not your word to conform to the way I want to live. Hallelujah. Don't change the landmarks. Change me. Amen. Naboth, just go ahead and sell the land that you were given. It's a wicked day, and so many things have already changed. If you don't sell out, your neighbors are going to get mad at you because they've already sold out. Here's Naboth's response in 1 Kings 21 and 3. The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. Church, I want to keep what God gave me from the very beginning. How about you? It's valuable. It saved us. It'll keep us. I don't want to water it down. I want it full strength. Because one day if I walk in here and I'm deathly sick, I can say, I stood for the old landmarks, God. I stood for your word, and now you can apply that word to my life. When I have needs, I know that I haven't watered the things down so I can get the full strength of what God has given me. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Would you stand with me? The old time religion is going to cost you a little more than the new versions, you know. How is it that you and I can remember that first touch of God? Remember what it felt like to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't want to change from that. Hallelujah. And you know what? I want everybody else to have the same experience that I had. Hallelujah. We are a soul-saving station. And our business is truth. If we lose truth, we're out of business. Amen. Would you make a commitment this morning? Not to me, not to Apostolic Faith Church, but to Jesus Christ, that I'm not changing. I'm not changing, God. The altar's open. Would you come?